Get ready to turn that idea of yours into a successful side hustle without sacrificing time for the other things in your life. No matter your field, Wix's chat-based AI can help you get your website up and running in minutes so you can start achieving your goals. And don't worry if you don't have all the answers. Who does, right? AI-powered campaigns, SEO, market insights. We're always there for you. From launching your part-time passion to growing it into your full-time career, head over to Wix.com and start creating today.
Abhijit Hazarika began his career in tea in the early 1980s in a Calcutta saleroom at Brooke Bond Limited. He joined Tata Tea in 1991 and worked in tea buying and blending in Guwahati, Bangalore, and Kolkata for 18 years before moving to London, where he worked for nearly 7 years in product management and supply management for Tata Global Beverages. He has a home in Bangalore and has worked as a tea and process innovation consultant at T Sigma Consultancy based in Assam for 5 years. 3 years ago, Abhijit leased a small farm and factory at Bornoi, Assam, to conduct practical experiments on increasing tea productivity. The 8 staff members, including the factory manager, produce more than 700,000 kilos of made-to-order tea sold directly to wholesalers. He explains that labor accounts for 60% of the typical estate's operating expense, and the labor cost is increasing. Quote, input costs are going to keep on increasing. The only way to neutralize this is to increase productivity and efficiency on the farm. What is the driving force behind your pursuit of frugal innovation in tea? What motivates you?
My grandmother was probably the first woman planter in the history of Assam. So she used to run a tea garden called Korangani. And my grandfather actually, cleared jungles to be able to create around 4 gardens in his time. My family has always been in tea from my mother's side. And so I have grown up among people who were passionate about tea, people who lived their life in tea. And I drew a lot of inspiration from my grandmother, who, at that time used to actually go to the factory with, gumboots and being able to walk in the rain and stuff like that. And it always left an impression that, that there's so much, you can do if you really want to. And, there's nothing that holds you back. My uncle is also looked after the garden, and both those were, in my view, great innovators of their time, although they are probably not spoken about. And they did a lot of work in the tea garden. I have been in tea for, nearly 4 decades. So what I am today is only because of tea. And I think, whatever little I can give back, to tea, I'm always trying to see the opportunity. There are probably very few people who have seen the different parts of tea, the commercial aspects of tea, more than anything else. And also having the opportunity to work in big organizations who have actually driven, you can use the word IT, to actually benefit from, from the power of technology. So all that together, I think, makes a combination which makes it interesting for me to look at tea not as a problem, but as an opportunity. And to see how, we could actually, make even one life better. And I think that itself is my motivation, that, let's make one day better.
What are the most effective applications of technology in tea cultivation?
If you put a problem statement, what is the most important thing to change in tea? I would think it is, number one, the ability to reduce the number of people in the entire process. I think that's the biggest one. But you have to do it in such a way that, it is not harmful in any way. You are not depriving anybody of what they were entitled to because they were born in a estate or they lived in an estate. But at the same time, in order to make their lives better, you have to change status quo, because otherwise it's just going downhill.
At Bornoy, workers using the experimental electronic harvester you are developing with RoboSix Labs harvest far more green leaf per day than pluckers working on surrounding farms.
An average plucking of around 27 to 28 kgs per worker, you have to make it go up to at least 300 kgs. You know, that's the only way you'll be able to maintain your garden. Technology has to start in the field in terms of harvesting. Because without that, you know, your cost of production in no way can come down. The second use of technology, of course, is use of, you know, better ways of monitoring the garden. Now it could be drones, it could be a lot of other aerial surveillances. And we need to understand that, you know, there is really so much you can spend, you know, on an estate, because it's not cost optimum, you're back to square A. Apart from, you know, the obvious advantages of harvesting, I think in terms of, you know, the ability for technology to bring in, you know, surveillance. And I think surveillance, you know, whether it is aerial, whether it is, you know, anything else, to be able to actually bring down some of the other costs related to pest attacks and stuff like that. Interesting areas which are developing, but in my view, they are very expensive as of now. And, you know, because given the last large areas which are under tea, I think there has to become a time when, you know, something more frugal needs to be done. Just looking at drones or, you know, just looking at satellite images is good, but I think there would have to become something much more cost effective, because the area is very large. In the way that we do manufacture, I think there are a lot of variables which, you know, one needs to, you know, take care of. And that's where probably, you know, technology will help us, but in my own experience, when we have been running factories, I think every aspect of manufacture is so closely related that in many cases that, you know, it is not possible to actually get the right flow in an optimized way to be able to, you know, give you the best product at the lowest cost. For example, even a small thing like the feed rate, you know, into your CTC, you know, could actually impact the way your CFMs run, how your dryers run. And, you know, one thing I think which is probably not, you know, evident is the lack of technical training that you can give your workers who run the factory. I'm not talking about the people on maintenance and all. I'm talking about the daily people who come to actually run the factory for you. There is so much of variation among, you know, people that, you know, that to get a standardized process as we know it, you know, is very, very difficult. So technology does have an important role to play in every aspect of the, but again, the cost has to be within something that is disproportionate in terms of, you know, the benefits that it is able to bring in. And I think that's the riddle which, you know, only frugal innovation can actually help, because, you know, doing, you know, high cost, you know, changes will never pay off for a commodity which has always been marketed as, you know, poor man's drink. And that's going to be the problem.
You mentioned steady progress in improving the electronic tea harvester, which is now undergoing field trials.
The challenges is in terms of the overall deployment of mandate or say workers in the field and how you are able to reduce the cost. And we worked for 4 years and ran into major disasters, you know, in the first 3 years, because we were trying to do something which worked within the lanes between two bushes. and not go over the bush, because that was the only way we could reduce cost. We wanted to, you know, bring in the latest technology in terms of electronics so that, you know, we were able to, you know, make it future-proof, because in our view, having something which was probably mechanical was outdated to start with. And therefore, we went and tried. And everything was done in-house in terms of design and, you know, manufacturing the components, etc. So I think this year has been a good year for us in terms of trials. We've been able to, you know, cover about 1 hectare in 8 hours. And of course, output will depend on what is on the bush. So, you know, output is not important. It's just the... Our aim is to get to 0.15 hectares per hour on a normal speed. And for that, a bit of work to be done in terms of small things, like, you know, when we did a study, we found that the number of times we were changing the bags as compared to a worker using a harvester was probably 5x more. I mean, it's a very small thing, but, you know, actually it is costing us a lot of time on the ground. We have been learning every year, and, you know, I think as a person, very confident that this will work. Now, whether it's a commercial success or not, I think, is not something I want to think about. But it has really taught us a lot. If you are going to have a Fugal machine like this, a Fugal means as compared to, you know, anything else which is available, and you can reduce the number of man days but get better or equally good output, I think there is a future. And I was thinking more in terms of using this machine for agri entrepreneurs in Assam. You know, my dream and is that if we could take educated youth and make them into agri entrepreneurs using this machine, using drones, using sensors, and servicing the small growers' farms, where, you know, the small grower did not have to worry about anything because, you know, the agri entrepreneurs were taking care of the entire back end process, then I think it would bring in two major changes. One is it would bring in, you know, standardized quality, because, you know, these agri-entrepreneurs would have been trained, or could be trained, rather than training 500 smolty growers. And secondly, I think it will reduce the migration of educated and talented youth from the villages of Assam or West Bengal, you know, to very mundane paying jobs in big cities, which I think is a huge loss of talent for a state. So for me, I think those are the two most important success factors if it ever came true. It's not so much of the commercial earnings.
The relentless focus on improving yield to increase volume has been challenged. Will you address whether improving tea quality pays off for the people who do the work? Is the additional effort being rewarded?
We had, you know, taken a bottling factory on lease, you know, for about 2 years with the express purpose of trying to improve, you know, the earnings of the small tea growers by improving the quality of the tea that we made, and therefore also encouraging them to, you know, follow good manufacturing, good agricultural practices, and making the factory also follow good manufacturing processes. Now, we did improve, you know, the leaf quality. We did improve the, you know, the quality of the made tea. But then I think, you know, the gap is so small between, you know, making a good tea and the best tea and getting the best price and the medium price that, you know, it's a gamble and it may not always pay off. So, you know, the amount of expenditure that you make in trying to move from, you know, what I call as a B index tea to an A index tea may not always pay off in terms of the final price that you realize. That's been my experience over the last 2 years. That is something that one needs to be very careful about. Because one thing is very clear, that you cannot sacrifice volume. you know, and just look at just, you know, the variable cost. So, you know, that is the biggest challenge that anybody who is in tea realizes day in, day out. And the second is, I think, the cash flow. I think one of the biggest problems in the tea industry is the cash flow. Like a small tea grower has to be paid within, you know, say 14 days or 7 days or whatever you've got an agreement with. But, you know, you as a producer or a factory owner will not get paid within, you know, more than 21 days. And that's where, you know, cash flow becomes one of the biggest challenges that, you know, that you need to manage. There are so many of these problems, but, you know, when you are addressing them one by one, you begin to realize that, you know, everything is so interconnected. Yeah. That, you know, there is no one solution to this entire thing. And I think everybody is looking at one solution, but that's going to be very difficult.
I admire your factory experiment addressing the daily problems of tea cultivation. Every process can be improved and made more efficient and economical, but persistently low prices at the farm gate undermine that effort. In tea, the upper end of the supply chain is still not compensating the lower end for their work.
The way I can speak specifically for India at large, because I spent most of my time as a buyer blender in India, and I have seen quality evolve in India over a period of time. So if you looked at India, say, when I started my career, at that point of time, there was a huge amount of tea, which was what we call as loose tea or unbranded tea. Right? Even now, you know, 400 million kgs of tea approximately would be in the unbranded segment, what we call as the general trade, or, you know, what we call as the local buyers play a huge influence. Now, the way I have seen, you know, brands panning out over the last 2-3 decades that I have been closely associated with, is that, you know, that while there was a lot of interest among the big players in, you know, capturing value at the, you know, medium or the top end of the pyramid, I think over the last maybe 10, 15 years, everybody has begun to realize that the volume lies at the bottom. And so, you know, there has been a huge amount of, you know, branded activity now happening at the bottom of the pyramid. And majority of the shares of very large companies are actually coming from that. And that's a reality because, you know, the fact is that the market will be determined by what people are not only willing to pay, but also able to pay. Okay, so if you look at, you know, it's very nice and very heartening when people talk about, you know, value. But people need to realize that many of the people, for them, tea still is a luxury, okay? Because they can't really afford to drink tea by sacrificing something else, okay? So they will always look for value. Now, for them, value is, in many cases, not taste. It is not something, it is something that's probably just having, you know, a tea which fulfills the basic need.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.